topics to discuss. A little bit of San Diego Comic-Con hints at what's coming up, including a new trailer from Discovery of Witches. The Saturn Awards just wrapped, and, you know, we were there, so we're just discussing it a little bit. Angela has some feels about Wonder Woman and the reveal of Steve Trevor being in the film again. Westworld wrapped up this weekend, and I don't know what the hell I think about it. And I did see Ant-Man and the Wasp, so we will give a spoiler-free review of that.
I'm excited for that!
I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
It's 3 weeks to Comic-Con, 3.5?
Oh my god. Yeah, I guess it is like 3 weeks. It's the, what, like, it starts on like the 18th this year?
Yeah. So yeah. That's 2.5 then.
Yeah, 2.5 weeks. Crazy.
That's scary, and yes, bad. We've started getting press releases this week. This week was the official, they must have given the press, here's who's coming, or the publicist, here's who's coming. So we've started getting lots of fun press releases. And my biggest surprise so far has been the fact that Sky, which is a pay channel, it's like HBO kind of for the UK.
Oh, okay.
They also, it's like if HBO and DirecTV had a baby.
Yeah. Anyway, that's an interesting provider.
Yeah, also, they have their own channel, but they also are the satellite provider.
Right.
Anyway, which is owned by Fox, which might owned by Disney soon. Anyway.
They're really taking everything.
So, I know, they're taking over the world. Anyway, so Sky are bringing over their first series. Mm-hmm. It's their first visit to Comic-Con, and that will be The Discovery of Witches, which I know is based on a book, but I had never heard of it before.
No, me either. Apparently it's like a book series. It's a trilogy.
Yes, there's some of them.
Which seems...
And, I mean, Matt watched it last night, and he was like, basically, it looks like somebody copied Anne Rice and her vampires and witches, which, you know, there is a book that brings the vampires and the witches together in Anne Rice's universe. But, I don't know, it looks good.
Yeah.
It's too good as me, so that's probably always going to make me watch it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, based on not knowing anything, I just watched the trailer, and I was like, this trailer looks intriguing, although I don't like Teresa Palmer. I don't know why. I don't know what she's done to me, but... When I see her, I'm, like, less than excited. So.
I've never heard of her before. But
she was in the Warm Bodies movie. I had, like, look her up because I was like, I see you somewhere.
I don't think I saw that movie either. So, or, yeah.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, like, it looks well made. Mm-hmm. It's good. And it looks like I'm intrigued by the story. I was a little. I looked her up. She's only, like, 8 years younger than Matthew Good.
But she looks a lot younger, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And especially, there's, like, the professor-student vibe at the beginning, and mm-hmm. I was like, I am super over this, especially when there are vampires involved. So, I'm going to watch, it made me want to read the books, because I want that not to be the case. And so, it made me, like, I want to read the book to make it, like, assure me that it's not going to end up being like that.
Not to make my first Marvel aside, but I have to do it. We're watching Luke Cage right now, and so there's the whole season two. So there's the whole Mariah Dillard, Shades relationship, and I had to tell him. I was like, first episode, I'm like, Matt, this makes me super uncomfortable. Like, I really, really hate May December romances.
Oh yeah.
A friend of mine loves Harold and Maude, so she made me watch it like years ago, and I was like, this is awful.
I can't even watch it because of my fear that it's romantic.
It is!
Yeah. So, like, I didn't know that it was romantic. I was like, this sounds like it might be romantic, and I don't want that in my life. So,
It is, and it's super gross. Matt and I are 6 years apart, and that makes me, like, I feel like
that's too much for you. I'm okay. I like, still Luke Cage aside, which I guess we could have talked about Luke Cage season 2. Oops. This is, like, talking about Luke Cage season 2. Because it really is kind of Mariah's show, just saying, in season 2. Yeah. I don't have a problem with Mariah and Shades. I thought it was funny in season 1. Like, I thought it was funny to, like, ship it because I didn't think it was going anywhere. I was like, oh, LOL, they should get together. And then they did, and I was like, that's weird. And then in season two, I feel so bad for Shades. And I hate feeling bad for Shades because I don't want to like Shades. So.
How far are you into it now that we've totally gone?
Right, I just finished episode 6, so I'm halfway through.
We just finished episode 8.
Oh, okay.
There's a really, like, the next 2 episodes for you are gonna be like, holy shit, what?
Oh, okay.
So,
keeping that, yes, I agree with you in general that Meta's performances are weird, but 8 years is not too much for me. And
8 years is not bad.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that she does look a little young, so it is a little bit, makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, that's the actor, and then, like, well, she's a witch, so that's good. But, mm-hmm. like, is she, like, a young witch who is, like, 20, and he's the however centuries old vampire? And right. then I'm like, me.
And actually, that's so what I was going to say. That is one thing that does interest me. A little bit more than the usual, like, oh, a young human woman and the, you know, 300-year-old vampire, is that it's like, oh, it's interspecies because they're both different supernatural beings who are at war. Like, that's yeah. interesting. I feel like that's explored less than, like, just human and whatever. So, yeah. witch and vampire might be interesting. I'm like, I didn't know that there was enmity between the witches and the vampires, so I guess it'll be interesting to see what kind of situation is going on there.
Between all of them, or at least that any interspecies romances are verboten.
Right, so that's, and that's also something that's not usually brought up. Like, I've never heard that one before, so.
I think the only one I can think of is Underworld, but, like, nobody really saw that, and I've never even watched it. I just know that's part of what's going on. So
also the first couple Underworlds, and, you know, the werewolves and the vampires don't like each other, and then, but then her boyfriend is like, oh?
A hybrid?
Yes. So, he started off as a human. I can't tell. I mean, yeah, I saw the first two. I can't tell. Like, I don't know.
For me, it's like, considering that vampires usually start off as humans, you can't be born a vampire. Like, can you really be picky about who you're going to?
Well, and with humans with powers. Mm-hmm. So, and like,
maybe they're trying to stop it from there being a super powerful one somewhere.
Right.
Maybe
that's why. Supposed to be people who are bitten.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, also, the idea that vampires could reproduce is insane to me. I don't think it could be, it should be not medically possible, but okay.
Because they're dead.
Exactly. Well, yeah, because they're dead. And, like, they don't have blood, right? They don't have, so, like, do they have semen stored up, though? Like, are their eggs still viable? It doesn't make sense.
Maybe they're magically cloning themselves.
Maybe.
There's a whole part in, like, I'm not going to go into it, really, but in one of the, in the Merrick, which is like the crossover mm-hmm. between the Vampire Chronicles and the Witches, actually gets kind of, yeah, there's a sex scene basically between Lestat and the witch Merrick, except it's based on the fact that she's on her period.
Oh,
and
ew.
You can't figure out where it goes from there, and it's awful. I was like, please stop writing. Like, okay, you're finally killing these things that I love. Just, no.
Oh, so, God. Yeah.
Anyway.
So hopefully this will be better than that.
Yeah, change it that, hopefully. I think it looks like it's based on a young adult novel, so we can all hope that doesn't happen. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Anne Rice was my Twilight. Where that's why when everybody was like, oh, Twilight, it's kind of edgy. I'm like, have you read Anne Rice? That's what I was reading when I was 14. That's what, you needed your vampire fix, and it's very sexual, even when it's not actually sexual. So, yeah, anyway.
Let me not get into my Twilight tangent. Just let it lie.
I've never read them, and I never will. Yeah.
Making a wise choice. Anyway,
it looks good. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, that's a thing everybody loves. It's a different, you know. And usually when it's British, it's better.
Yeah, right. British is better. And it's nice. I feel like there's been some time to cool off from the vampire phase. The vampire craze. So maybe we'll get a different perspective on it now.
Did you guys watch Dracula when it was on air? The one with Jonathan Rhys-Meyers?
And Katie McGrath?
Huh?
Katie McGrath was on it.
Yes, she was?
Yeah. That's all I know about it. Merlin fandom was like, Katie!
It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad that it didn't. Like, it was really good. I really liked it. But
did it last one season or two?
One.
Oh, okay.
NBC fucks over everything. Like, NBC does not know how to handle the genre. Can we just accept that and stop putting it on their network? Because even when they put it on Sci-Fi, they don't know how to handle it there either, because they keep losing all the good
mm-hmm.
shows. Sad times. Anyway. So yeah, that's something I'm looking for. It's good to see. I feel like San Diego Comic-Con is becoming less relevant in mm-hmm. some ways, but at the same time, it's obvious that more stuff is going there because it can still be powerful if you use it in the right way. So it's kind of good to see that even as we have, I think Lionsgate has pulled out.
Yeah, obviously Game Marvel's of Thrones canceled too.
Yeah, HBO's not going at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of good to see new properties being brought there by new networks or, you know, whatever. Yeah. I actually said something to somebody the other day about how I don't even know that Sunday is usually my day that I do the floor because, like, I usually have all kinds of free time. I'm not sure I'm going to this year because there's four big panels that day.
Oh.
So if we get into those press rooms, I may be busy.
Right, yeah.
Legion, Doctor Who, Supernatural, and Riverdale are all in Hall H on Sunday.
Do they know who's moderating Doctor Who now? Did they get a new moderator?
No, we still don't know.
Mm.
Did you guys see that, like, I never want to see Lady Sif in the Thor
yep.
movies again.
Lady Sif is canceled.
Jamie Alexander.
Yeah.
I did not see that, so let's gossip.
She put up a petition to get Chris Hardwick reinstated as the moderator
back on AMC. Yeah.
Yeah. And all his talk shows reinstated.
Yeah.
I was like, and now I don't care if I ever see Lady Sif again.
Yep.
Yeah, no, she's done.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, why would you stake your, I mean, I don't know what kind of reputation she had before this. In fact, my friend was just telling me earlier, like, when I saw that tweet, and I was like, canceled. She was like, oh, I already heard that she's, like, terrible to work with. Like, people were, like, talking in, like, even, like, not even, like, a blind item. Like, someone gave some interview where they talked about how she was really difficult on set of Blind Spot. And I was like, welp, okay then. So anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't have thoughts about her outside of Lady Sif before this, but now I definitely don't care if I see Lady Sif.
Yeah, right? And now it's like, fine, let's just move on.
Yeah.
We have Valkyrie now.
Exactly.
Tessa Thompson is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Tessa Thompson came out as bisexual today, by the way.
Yes! And did not confirm that she's in a relationship with Janelle Monáe, but said she doesn't care if we speculate. So, yes, she is in a relationship with Janelle Monáe. Thank you. Good night. Yes.
I didn't know that part.
That's yeah, but cute. She said that they're super cute. They're on. Yeah, she was like, we love each other dearly. We're on the same vibe, but we're very private, so we're not going to say that we're in a relationship. But that basically means you are. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, because if you weren't, you would just say you weren't in a relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
So now we will just recast Lady Sif as Janelle Monáe.
There you go.
And
done.
Then, and then they will be in a relationship, and maybe they'll let Thor hang around sometimes.
This. Let Thor hang around sometimes. I love it.
Like the other day, I don't know if you guys saw that. Like one of the interviews that Feige did for Ant-Man and the Wasp
mm-hmm.
was about like whether or not we were going to see LGBTQ inclusion like in the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
And he said we already have, or they're already there. I think it was like they're already there, which everybody's like Valkyrie.
Yeah.
And yes, we will see more. And I was like, oh my god, please make Captain Marvel.
Oh, that'd be exciting. Yeah.
I
feel like the way that he says that, oh, you already have and you'll see more, does that mean that you're just going to keep doing it the way you're trying to claim that you've done it?
Right.
Like, oh, well, yeah. We've already had them and we'll have more because we'll confirm it after the fact and not put it in the movie. Like,
yeah, we need to not go the Harry Potter route. Exactly. Jinx.
Yeah. It's totally the Dumbledore situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I know. I saw that and I was like, oh, I just want to see the Valkyrie and Captain Marvel hook up now.
Yes.
Hey, there you go. I mean, if we're not going to do more Thor movies, right? Are we doing more Thor movies? Because otherwise.
We don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Sounds like Chris Hemsworth would be down if he keeps getting to do, like, funny Thor.
Yeah. If Taika Waititi keeps directing them.
Yes, and we get Taika Waititi back. Then everybody will be on board, I think.
Agreed.
I do have to say, although no, I don't want to say that because I don't want to spoil it. No, I mean, I can say it because, like, even Runaways,
mm-hmm.
I feel like the TV is doing better at that kind of representation than the movies are.
For sure.
Yeah.
But that reminds me, have you been watching Cloak & Dagger?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Good.
Much. Cloak & Dagger.
Yes.
So it's been...
Yeah,
it's
last time episode was... You know, okay. Last week's episode was so great that last night's episode couldn't be. It was like, no, it's a good episode, but like, yeah.
Last night's was 5, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I haven't seen that one yet. I'm one episode behind.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. I love this tangents are great. But yes, I agree with you. The LGBT rep on Marvel TV has been better. especially, I thought that Runaways did a really good job with Carolina and Nico.
Yeah.
Carolina and Nico. I'm trying to think of what others jump out at me. Netflix? I feel like Netflix Marvel is not really. What's going on there?
But I can't. There is, like I said,
oh, duh! Oh, yes, yes, I remember now, duh. But I was happy and then I was sad.
Yeah.
In the reveal in the episode that I just watched.
Oh, okay. So yeah. That's right, it was in that episode. Yeah. There's more to it.
Okay.
There's more.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually is funny because it goes more into the what you were talking about where you're like, I don't want to sympathize for Shades, but I do. But he actually does worse things and you still are sympathizing with him and you're like, mom's still screwed up. Anyway, but that's a whole other thing. Look at us. Tangents. We're terrible with the tangents. We do this every time. Anyway.
Angel's got to keep us on track.
What's our next topic? We're just going to talk about San Diego in general, or...
I think we kind of did. We'll be talking about it more as things come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just know we will be there. And...
and very busy, yes. As it looks right now, because I'm already... I don't usually get this many emails this far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting a lot more emails already, and I'm like, oh God. Oh God.
You're in demand.
It's a good thing,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm already, like, assuming I'm not. And the fact that our hotel is now further away than it usually is, mm-hmm. And so I'm going to have to spend more time walking back and forth to the hotel, I'm like, oh, God, I'm scared. But that's okay. We get through it. We love it. It's fun. It's worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we get good stuff.
Yes, hopefully.
Speaking of, did we get good stuff at the Saturn Awards?
Oh, Lord.
I know, yeah, I looked over the list. Some things, yes, other things,
Was there any that you were particularly excited by?
Ryan Johnson got Best Writing for Last Jedi.
Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
You saw the tweet I put up when I was throwing shade.
The fans.
The fans.
Yeah.
I put it in quotes, the fans.
Mm-hmm.
May not be giving him the love, but the Saturn Awards are, and I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then, Gal Gadot is Best Actress.
Yeah, like, which, bless her heart, I don't know that acting was what the best thing about her performance.
I would have to see who her competition was.
Right.
Because maybe the competition was all awesome.
Denai Guerrero won, right?
Who got one?
Did Denai Guerrero win supporting for...
Yes, she got Best Supporting.
Yeah, that makes me happy. And Black Panther won, as it should.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Black Panther won, like, a bunch of shit, which is always great.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see for you who was up against Gal Gadot as where's best. Keep going. I'll come.
I will, of course, yeah, TV. I laughed and laughed when Flash Season 4 won Best Superhero Show. I was like, come on, you can give it to Black Lightning? No offense, I love my Flash, but Season 4 was not it. Could have gone to Black Lightning.
That was not
you should have gone to Black Lightning, that's true.
What else was up against it?
Great question. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which also could have won.
So, going back to Best Actress in a Film, she was up against Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards. Is that even
That's super random.
A genre movie?
I'm
going to
get under Thriller, because it won Best Thriller.
I guess.
Lupita Nyong'o for Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Rosamund Pike for Hostels, Daisy Ridley for The Last Jedi, and Emma Watson for Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, sorry, I'd pretty much pick almost anybody over Gal Gadot.
Yeah, she doesn't deserve that. I feel like it was just the love of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That gave her that award, and yeah, bless Gal Gadot, but no.
Some of those nominations are super unnecessary, though, like,
yeah,
Saturn Awards are not supposed to be so that you can just back up, like, a random, you know, Oscar nomination.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But, like, even taking those out, I don't feel like, as Val said, most of the other nominees deserve it more.
Yeah.
So.
I wouldn't give it to Emma Watson, but, you know.
Yeah,
I know. I honestly thought she did better than Gal Gadot.
Yes! I mean, I would say that Gal Gadot did not hurt the script or the story. She didn't really add to it, but I wasn't, like, put off, you know? Does that make sense? Not that I'm saying, like, Emma Watson put me off, but I just mean, like, because what Belle is supposed to be able to do is sing. I was like, why did you choose Emma Watson to begin with? She did her best in the non-singing parts, though, so.
She wasn't too bad. best superhero TV series nominees were Arrow, Black Lightning, The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Gotham, S.H.I.E.L.D., and Supergirl.
Well, Flash does not deserve it more than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Black Lightning. And Legends could also win over it, that'd be fine. But it does, it, you know, at least it wasn't Supergirl or Arrow or Gotham, which is always a mess, even when it's great.
I feel like Runaways could have been in that category.
Yeah, that's kind of superheroes. I mean, were they in a different category? I guess they must have been, because
no,
Annie...
No, I don't think they were. Were they nominated for anything?
I think that... I feel like they were nominated for something. Maybe I made it up. Because Annie Wershing was there, so I thought that she was there for Runaways. Maybe she was there for Timeless.
She was there presenting, so...
Oh, okay.
She kind of is in both, so that I guess that works.
Mm-hmm.
The Punisher should have been in that category. The Punisher should have won it if it was in that category.
It won something, so I think it was in a different category. Maybe because he's not a superhero? I don't know. He's kind of a hater. I don't know what you call him.
They have to have actual powers? Well, the Runaways do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad to see that neither Iron Fist nor Defenders were nominated.
True. True. They didn't even bother.
Because
it's unworthy. That's true.
And that was all that was last year, so... Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't see The Greatest Showman. It was Best Action-Adventure Film.
Okay.
I mean, okay. I enjoyed it a lot.
I thought it was a musical about the circus.
It is a musical about the circus. I do not know that I would consider it an action-adventure film, but I did enjoy it a lot. I feel like it got a lot of, it got a lot of flack, but I thought the music was great, and like I said this before, but as long as you don't think of it as the story of P.T. Barnum, because it's super inaccurate, it is a fun story about a dude who believes that everyone is equal, and therefore... you should be proud of your differences and make a circus about them. So, you know, it's great.
Which is not at all.
Exactly. Not at all like P.T. Barnum.
Why do we want to glamorize people so much? It's like that Christopher Robin movie that Disney had coming out later this year. It looks adorable, but Christopher Robin wanted nothing to do with the Winnie the Pooh stories after he was, like, bullied really badly when he was in school. He literally didn't even take any of the money.
That's so sad.
It makes that movie, I'm like, I want to see it, but at the same time, I don't, because it's so inaccurate.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's inaccurate, obviously, because it's a fantasy, because he's, like, talking to the bear, and, like, he's talking to the bear.
Right.
But still, it's like, yeah, but he didn't want anything to do with anything in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a harder movie to make without it being about Christopher Robin, because then, like, you just have to have another person being randomly talked to by Pooh, but, like, with Greatest Showman, it is. Make a story about a dude with circus.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't make it about a... But it's only going to sell if it's about a specific person,
yeah,
even if it's
exactly
not really accurate.
And,
right?
And I'm, like, a hypocrite. Because even though, like, I'm like, I hate P.T. Barnum. He owned slaves. He abused his, you know, like, every, you know, like, he did all this horrible stuff. He's the worst. But the thing that annoyed me the most about the movie was when they had him almost have an affair with the opera singer. And I was like, this never happened. They had no interest in each other. This is fake. And everything else was already fake, Tatiana. It's Chinatown, Jeff. But anyway, so
far you have said nothing that leads me to believe it's an action adventure movie.
No, it's not.
Saturn Awards.
I guess it's the.
Well, I'm looking at the list of what else it was nominated against. It was up against Baby Driver.
Okay, that works. That's yeah.
Dunkirk, The Fate of the Furious, Hostels, and Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Okay, it must just be that they had nowhere else to put musical.
Somebody was confused with Hugh Jackman being there.
Yeah. Yes.
They were like, "Hugh Jackman is this movie, and I liked it better than all the other ones." No, it.
I don't know.
So the Saturn Awards are question mark.
Yes, question mark indeed.
They're fun, and at least they do. I mean, they do have categories outside of the film and stuff. Like they, you know, they recognize theater,
mm-hmm,
and smaller independent films and books and stuff. And I think they're better for that. But nobody cares is the biggest problem. Unfortunately, what gets the attention is, you know, obviously the big celebrities, and then that's what they...
Right.
I'm actually surprised they still don't stream it somehow.
Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't at this point. like, at least this year, we actually heard the audio from the award show in the press room, which we did not get last year.
Every other year, we've just had the video, and you're like, I don't know what's happening, but that person's on stage, so I guess they won something. Yeah. Oh, nope, they're presenting, never mind. Like, it was guessing every single time. Mm. At least this time, you could kind of hear it.
Yeah.
But it's very silly. But yeah. We did the press line, and we got some fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Gunn was my favorite, probably, because it was fun.
That was really fun.
Even though I felt totally bad because I'm an idiot, I was like, you weren't in Infinity War, and he's like, I'm Rocket. And I'm like, I forget this every time. He's the one who does the mocap for War Rocket. I always forget that.
I forgot it. I forgot it too, and I know that we learned this the time before. Like, I'm pretty sure we actually had this conversation in the previous interview with him last year, and yet we still forgot.
Mm-hmm. So,
he was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I got a picture with Ryan Coogler and Nate Moore after they won for Black Panther. And I was like, normally I am not a person who's going to try to take pictures with celebrities, especially when you're working.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not really appropriate. But I'm like, every once in a while, I'll do one.
Yeah.
And that was the one where I was like, no, I need this. And Nate Moore was kind of trying to, like, walk. And I was like, no, I want both of you.
That's cute.
I was like, you are important at Marvel. That you are my picture too.
That's really sweet. I like that. Sweet of him, and also, you know, and of you. It's a happy story. Yeah, I mean, I was happy I got to ask Sarah Schechter a few questions at the press room, which I was not expecting to do. So, and I got to sort of, I was like, more diversity in the writers' room, please.
She actually
was like, oh, we're definitely working on that, and we have more writers of color and women writers than ever before, and also more directors. And then she's like, and we've even got more crew members, like more diversity in our crew members this year, and we're definitely working towards more and more of that. And she's like, I don't know if you could hear me, but that's definitely what my speech was about, because that's what our goal is right now. So I was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, for you. But I wish the Flash writers room would put up a picture, and I feel like this is why they're not doing it. I want them to put up a picture of the writers room. All the other Arrowverse writers have done it this year, this season, and the Flash hasn't done it yet. And they've been doing it for the, you know, the Keep Families Together project. And so that you pass it on. And I guess no one's passing on to the Flash writers yet. But I'm like, put up your picture, you cowards, so I can see if you've got black women in your room yet. Because it's been 4 years, and you now have 3 black female regulars. It's time. It's time. But yeah.
Yeah. All shows are being really bad at that. Sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I can't remember. What else did we do? We could talk to Vince Gilligan about Breaking Bad a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to Mark Fergus about The Expanse and Jeff Bezos, who has all the monies.
All the monies?
The monies.
Well, it was you got to speak to Fiona.
Which made me happy because I love her. Like, her insanity on Dirk Gently was probably the best. I mean, that show was great.
Mm-hmm.
But her insanity, like, her character was amazing. So, I've never seen the Purge movies, but I might actually watch the show just to watch for her.
Yeah, no, because I got excited when she said that she was going to be in the Purge show, and I've never, like, the Purge is not even, I don't even want to go there. But now I'm like, oh, wait, I might check this out.
Yep, she's totally fun. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. I did actually talk to Diana Gabaldon in the press room for, like, a minute, but I swear to God, she's awful to interview.
Oh, no.
I didn't get anything out of her, and I was like, I'm not even trying anymore. I just kind of was like, okay, thank you.
Oh.
This is just not.
But for the ones.
I don't even think I'm writing it up.
For the ones who did say things that we could write up, you will find them on withanaccent.com over the weekend and throughout next week.
Yeah. They are coming soon, and we get time to actually edit videos. Editing videos is hard, yo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pain in the butt. And I don't think people understand that. It's pain. All right. Well, I think it's time for Angela to have some feels about Steve Trevor showing up in Wonder Woman 1984. Is that what we're actually officially calling it? Is that what we think the title is?
It's what they've been calling it.
Yeah.
They've been calling it. So I think we're just calling it that, yeah?
Yeah.
At least that's the name. All right, Angela.
My feels are that I don't know how I feel. I don't know how to feel about it. Yeah, because, like, Tuffy and I were talking about this one time, but I don't think we put it in the podcast, that, like, the romantic part of me is, like, I want Steve away in a bunker somewhere in the, you know, contemporary timeline, like, he's not around anymore. So I think that it did work. Like, his dying at the end of the first Wonder Woman movie, I thought worked just, like, sad on a certain level as that may be. And so I kind of don't want them to bring him back. It's going to end up being hokey, or if they're just going to kill him again. Like, even if we get to think, like, oh, like, they live together until he dies of old age or whatever, like, don't do that again. Don't do that twice. Like, don't put us through it two times. That's not nice. So, yeah, that's kind of...
I kind of assume he's going to end up being some long-lost relative, and it's not really Steve Trevor.
Which I don't like at all.
Yeah, I don't like that. Didn't they do the lukewarm reception to What's-Her-Face teach them anything? I mean, that's Marvel, but still.
Who's What's-Her-Face?
Sharon Carter.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes. I mean, even, I wonder, like, if you do a relative and you make it romantic, would it be a better reception because it's the same actor? Maybe, but it still feels like it cheapens the oneness. You know, like, you have, like, the one true love aspect of something. And then, yeah, sure, you can move on and find a different person to be with. But when that person is, like, related to the first person, then it's really super, like, you don't like this person for who they are, first off. Yeah. So, I don't know. And then I guess it could be someone, like, disguised as Steve Trevor. You know, like, it's like, oh, I'm Steve Trevor, but really it's not. Surprise, you know, reveal. And I would also hate that, so.
Chris Pine was good. I mean, I guess it depends on how much of this story is his story. It's starting to feel a little bit like, I mean, on the one hand, you do have, you know, the female love interests that have carried over from movie to movie and been around to be that. But part of it makes it feel like Wonder Woman can't be, like, they need Chris Pine to sell Wonder Woman. Like, they do that. And I don't know how I feel about that. But on the other hand, Chris Pine is great. And if you got him under contract and you have a story for him that works, put him in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, like, I mean, I want him in there, so on that level, I'm happy, but on the other level, it's like you know, I'm like, I want to make sure that it stays Diana's story. Yeah. So.
And at least it is the same team, so I trust them to do that part. You know, Wonder Woman was not the most perfect movie, but in terms of it being Diana's story, they did, so I trust that they'll do that again. Maybe it's just somebody at the studio. It could be like a studio, a DC thing, being like, we don't think this can sell without a famous man in this movie.
Right.
Well, and that is the problem. It is Warner Brothers and DC, so do we trust them? I don't know.
No, them I don't trust. I don't trust the studio to have been like, you have to put Chris Pine back in this movie, or we don't think them will get to see it or something.
Right. That's the thing, because they didn't interfere with the first one. That's why it was as good as it was. And now, because they expect it to be successful, they probably are going to do more interference with the second one, which ironically will make it less successful. Ho, don't do it.
Do they have anything like the equivalent of life model decoys in the DC universe? Could it be something like that?
I'm sure they do. Yeah, and it could be. It could be something like that, which is a little weird, but, you know, they can work with it.
I mean, I wonder how much it's going to be magic. Well, because Wonder Woman, I mean, she's like a god. Like,
yeah.
All of the DC properties so far, that's the one.
Maybe one of the Greek gods can gift her with Steve Trevor back. Problem solved. Even though
that's what all the fics are about.
Yeah, the issue is just that we already see the present day, which is like 2016, 2017, 2018, where she doesn't have him and talks about having lost him. I guess you could retcon it to be like, she does have him, but she lost him once and she remembers that, but
she lost the photo.
Yeah. She just really likes that photo. Yeah, exactly. It's just, he wanted it. It's for their anniversary gift.
She wasn't talking about him. She was talking about one of the others.
Oh.
She doesn't have another photo of.
There you go. Oh. There you go. Oh my god, you solved it. You cracked the code. In this one, they talk about how sad it is that all those other dudes are dead. So, if only we had a photo.
Chief is confirmed off screen again as a god.
Oh, really?
Wonder Woman. Yeah. Because apparently somebody who speaks, because the actor, and this is where I'm really terrible because I don't remember any of it, but the actor, whose name I don't remember, speaks in the movie his language from his tribe that he is, which I don't remember. And apparently he introduces himself as the name that he gives, because they don't translate it, they don't subtitle it. The name that he gives is a trickster god in his culture's mythology.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
The name of which have an issue with the movie. It's like, yeah, that's true. We'll go with that. Like, they were fine with keeping that in.
Huh.
So,
well, that's fun. That's
yeah, I like that a lot. So bring Sheath back. Hashtag bring Sheath back.
I would rather see that than Steve Trevor.
Yes. His name is Eugene Brave Rock, and the character's name is Chief Nappy. Nappy? I don't know how you pronounce it.
Nappy.
It's
Nappy.
Yeah.
Nappy is, like a trickster.
And the tribe is Blackfoot. So there we go.
Cool.
Trickster and a storyteller. So he can be the Horus.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I'm okay with that. Do that. Yeah, I don't know. I liked the first one, but I still think everybody made it out to be bigger than, like, you know, I saw something the other day where it was like, oh, like one of the best superhero movies ever made or something like that. And I was
it's
like,
a bit
okay,
much.
Can we stop? Just because DC finally made a good movie, and it's good, it's not great, and we finally got a good female-led superhero movie, does not mean it's the best one ever made. It's like, no, it's good, but we can still do a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
It could give you some of the best feels you've gotten to see that representation, but that's not the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same way when, like, to be honest, episode one and The Force Awakens, when they came out, and everybody was just so excited because we're, like, getting Star Wars again, and it's like, that doesn't make it a good movie, just because you're excited to get the thing.
Right.
Was anybody calling episode 1 a good movie? Really?
Okay, but Wonder Woman is better than episode 1 was.
Yeah, it's definitely
better. Come on. Maybe Wonder Woman's more like Force Awakens, you know? Like,
Wonder Woman is more like Force Awakens, but at the same time, Force Awakens is still not the best Star Wars movie ever
right,
made, and
right.
People make it seem like it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really? No, you were just nostalgic.
Yeah.
You wanted something to suck.
Right.
When does Wonder Woman 2 come out? Sometime next year.
Yes. I'm not sure exactly when, but yeah, sometime 2019.
Yeah, or, we'll
is it 2019 or 2020? 2019.
It must be 2019. Probably like
DC has much else going on.
LOLOL.
Aquaman, that's about it.
Is Aquaman happening anymore? You know,
yeah, it comes out in December.
If I don't see it, does it exist? Which is... I don't see it. They're not doing anything.
It's funny because, you know, we were just talking about, how, like, it was, what, 2 podcasts ago? We talked about how it was weird that we haven't seen any footage from Aquaman. Like, there's no trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because he is doing all the promotion for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Kevin Feige has been asked about, you know, trailers for Captain Marvel and Avengers 4.
Mm-hmm.
And he's said they're not coming out till later this year, which will put it as even closer to when those movies come out than Aquaman. So I'm like, okay, maybe that's just
the new
maybe
thing.
We shouldn't be giving Aquaman a hard time. Maybe it's just we're trying to promote later because.
Well, I feel like maybe they feel that definitely Avengers 4 and to an extent Captain Marvel. I feel like they just feel it's spoilery. That's why they won't even release the title. They said not until next year, I think now.
Yeah, I think what he said was after the Captain Marvel trailer comes out, which won't be until later this year, the fall sometime, and. I mean, Captain Marvel comes out in March.
Yeah.
The three, how are they going to promote? And he has said none of the characters who disintegrated will be used to promote Avengers 4, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
Because then you also, how are you going to promote Spider-Man 2, which, by the way, we got the title, which is Far From Home. I'm not even sure what the hell I think about that, but whatevs. Anyway, that comes out in July, so only 2 months after Avengers 4, so how are you going to promote that without, I honestly do not envy them this job. I don't.
Marketers are crying in a corner somewhere.
Yeah, I know. Maybe they just assume they don't really have to promote them, so it's.
They don't, it's true.
They sell themselves. As soon as you tell somebody when it's out, they'll buy tickets. It's like, yeah.
Even my dad, who was friends this weekend and had no, like, he's seen every single Marvel movie. He could not keep straight what was happening without, like, the bet. He's like, when your brother explained it to me, like, my brother used comic knowledge and explained it to him, and my dad is like, I feel like I shouldn't have to know that to understand. And it's not like he hasn't seen a Marvel movie. He's gone and seen each one in theaters, but that's what says it, and he was a little lost.
and the Wasp reboot now instead of last because we are already talking about this.
That makes sense. Go into it.
It's going to be hard to not spoil things, especially because the most important thing you want to talk about is the one thing that's, like, connected. But I would say this is... So people are asking... because everybody wants to know how does it connect to Infinity War. The entire movie takes place before Infinity War. The post-credit scene is when you finally get acknowledgement of Infinity War. Or, I should say mid-credit scene, not post-credit scene. The movie is more of a sequel to Civil War than it is anything else. And I was actually surprised at how much they mentioned Civil War. Because apparently the Wasp, she is really fucking bitter that she was taken.
Oh, really?
Yes. And what Scott did, and the fact that he went, and the fact that he was then caught, is the entire movie. Because it isn't just, it plays out in the first scene that you see them. The ramifications of that choice and his getting caught is the entire movie. There's more plot on top of it of, you know, because obviously the plot is mainly about them trying to get Janet Van Dyne out of the Quantum Realm because they've figured out that she must be there.
Do they?
But what Scott did going to help Cap affected his relationship with Hope and Hank, and then led to them being on the lam. So it affects the entire story. Like, the entire story is about that. And she keeps bringing it up. He's apologizing a lot, and she's, like, giving him all kinds of shit. Because, like, you've seen in the trailer, it's like, well, if you had taken me with you, you wouldn't have been caught. Well, she keeps saying shit like that the entire and I think it honestly, as much as it is about Scott and his family, although they're not in it nearly as much as the first one, but as much as it is about Scott and what he did, she is more the superhero of this movie than he is.
That's what I'm excited for, because I really
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I liked her character a lot in the first one, and I liked how they worked her into the backstory, and made, you know, the fact. Sort of like the double standard on the fact that she wanted to be a hero and was more capable of it than Scott was at first. Part of the story. Because, like, I feel like sometimes in movies where you have, like, they'll give you, like, the capable woman just because they want to show you the woman's capable, but they don't actually make it a plot point that she is. It just makes you wonder why they can't write a story about her. So it's nice to see them actually do that. Because I feel like a lot of times in films, they'll give you the one, like, hyper-competent woman just so that you can see, like, oh, look, see, there's women here, and they can do stuff, and they're capable, but they don't get a story, and there is no story about the fact that they don't get a story. Whereas in Ant-Man, she was, like, going after her dad, like, why wouldn't you let me do this when I am more capable than him, you know? And I want to do it. You're trying to drag this guy into it when I want to do it, and I can do it. And then by the end, he lets her do it. So it's nice to see that it's not just, okay, now she can do it. She actually gets a story out of that.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot more. It's basically her and her dad and them working to get Janet. Because they assume that she is alive. Which, I mean, at this point, Feige has actually already confirmed that, yes, that was Janet we saw in the first movie. So
right.
I think we can say that. So, yeah, and I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer has been cast as Janet Van Dyne, and we all know that. So, she's in the movie less than I would have thought.
Okay.
But she is
considering.
And man, I can't wait until it's out so we can talk about it and talk about what happens and where it goes.
Oh, no. I'm really excited.
I like the way that they work Michael Pena and the other two guys whose name I can't remember into the story. Like, they have a reason to be there, and it makes sense that they're there, as opposed to just, well, they were funny and everybody liked them.
Right.
So, but that's also why, as much as you get Scott's family, they're not in it as much, because the story just doesn't work with them and being that a huge part of it.
Right.
So it's fun. There is good stuff in there, and there's something I definitely want to talk about after the movie comes out. But they're just not as important, you know. They just can't be, because it's mostly about Janet, and then, you know, the bad guys that they are fighting.
Right. And I feel like... I feel like they might make up for that a little bit in Avengers 4, right? Because didn't they say that they had cast an older Cassie Lang?
Yes.
So obviously that will be part of, like, it'll come back around to being part of the story.
And you can kind of see what is going to happen based on a couple of things that happened in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alright.
Speculate. So, like I said, we'll talk about that afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Peña does get his really fun, like, storytelling moment again. He gets one this time.
Okay.
And it is really fun, and it makes sense. Even though it's really just there because they're like, oh, everybody loved this, so we have to put it in again.
Mm-hmm.
But it works, and I actually really like it because it's mostly about Scott and Hope.
Oh.
So both Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly then have to play their characters, but as Michael Peña sees, or as Lewis sees them.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, so that's really fun. Mm-hmm. Michael Douglas even gets a moment.
Oh, okay. That's super. That's cool.
I think. I can't remember. I haven't watched it yet. But we saw it in... So it was a press screening we went to.
Yeah.
And they had the option for 3D or 2D.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided because we won't pay for 3D, we were like, okay, we're just going to see the 3D option and see what happens. Because I had heard somebody who had seen it a couple days before say, you need to see it in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
You do not need to see it in 3D. I don't think it hurts it. Whereas I do think there are movies that the 3D actually hurts the movie and makes it harder to see what's going on because mm-hmm. they're making you focus on the one thing when, you know, you can't see the bigger picture.
Right.
I hate 3D. It's a gimmick and I won't see it most of the time. I think Doctor Strange is the only movie I saw recently where the 3D actually really helped.
Mm-hmm.
But it works. It's fine. But I'm seeing it opening night at the Chinese in 2D, and I'm very happy about that.
Oh, good.
I just think it's better 2D.
Yeah.
There's only there's a mid-credit scene and a post-credit scene. The mid-credit scene is really important. Really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
And the post-credit scene is just funny.
Okay. I'm excited then. I still don't understand how people walk out of the theater before the credits are done rolling in Marvel movies. I don't get it.
I was in a press screening and press walked out.
Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it was like, what is going on here? Matt was like, maybe they've already seen it, and so then maybe they were invited to the other screening, and so they don't need, but I'm like, no, I would still have watched it again. Maybe they just really need to pee. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can't even leave thinking, oh, I'll come back for the end.
Right.
Because the mid-credit scene is usually, a lot of the Marvel movies now, and mm-hmm. this one is no exception, they do the credits, and the mid-credit scene is immediately after the main credits.
Yeah,
The main character credits. The main cast credits. So, yeah, I don't know. A lot of people I saw were saying that this movie is better than the first one. Matt agreed with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't yet, but I like I said, I need to see it again. I'm just one of those people who, like, half the time I can't come up with a real opinion on a movie until I see it for a second time anyway. But, because the first time I'm just so overwhelmed that I'm like, okay, I need to step back and take it in.
Right.
But, I would say it's at least on par.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice because it's really funny. I think it's, in a lot of ways, like, funnier than the first one. But I think the first one just had the benefit of it's surprising and it's new and different.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, you know, it's basically the same format. As much as Darren Cross was kind of a weird, like, crazy-ass villain, I think I actually sympathized. Or I think I liked his story better than I liked the Water one.
I mean, it definitely felt like a personal story. I liked that it really felt, you know? Like, oh, yeah. I could have been like a son to you, and instead this dude's like a son to you. Like, whatever. Like, it makes sense. It made sense to me.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
This one's it's more convoluted, and I was like, I don't know. I liked the actress,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know, I feel it was kind of stupid.
Oh.
To be honest, I don't think I like the motivation. I like where it ends up,
okay.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, I was just kind of like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, speaking of convoluted.
Oh, Westworld.
Yep.
Yeah. I honestly have no idea how I feel about this season, because I'm like, I don't know if I know what any of it meant. And after the first season, I knew I needed to go back and watch the whole thing again, because it, you know, because it was obviously one of those shows where they were giving you clues to what was happening, but you don't necessarily understand them in context.
Right.
So it definitely helped with season one to go back and watch it again. And I think by the end of it, I understood it more. This one, I definitely feel like I need to go back, but that's because I almost feel like that finale didn't make any sense to an extent. So, and I don't know if the season didn't really, it was so convoluted. It was like, oh, we made, you think the first season was convoluted. Let's up it tenfold.
Yeah.
And you're like, but it didn't necessarily work. It just wasn't as compelling in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, I've fallen behind on it precisely for that reason. Because I thought, like, with Westworld season one, like, I wasn't as invested in it as other people were. And, like, the reason I powered through season one was because everyone was talking about how good it was and how compelling it was. So I was like, okay, obviously, you know, I have to be able to watch prestige TV, like, otherwise there's something wrong with me. So, but I still, like, it still was, like, a bit of a struggle for me to piece things together. Like, I had to make sure that I, you know, knew, like, the sprawling story and, like, paying attention at all times, which is, my ADD makes that hard. And that'll make that super hard in season two, is what I'm saying. Like, in season two, I couldn't tell you what's happening. I'm like, oh, okay. But there isn't really, like, what I like is getting to see sort of Maeve's story, sort of, like, a little bit of, like, the light to Dolores' dark, you know? Like, getting to see, like, a different way of dealing with the same situation. So that's, that I do like. And I do like that we got to see other worlds. Shogun world. And
I was surprised at how much of the other worlds we saw, to be honest. I like that we saw it, but I think it's hard, especially when you come to the end, and I feel like we should just go ahead and say we are going to talk, like, major spoilers, so if you haven't watched the finale and you care, you should stop listening now.
Yeah, even I haven't watched the finale, and I'm going to talk spoilers.
By the end of it, it just becomes so apparent that Ford basically didn't give a shit about any of the other worlds. He only cared about Westworld.
Yeah.
And so kind of feels like, okay, those were fun to throw in, but I almost feel like you spent too much time on them.
If you're not going to connect it back.
Yeah, if you're, like, the episode that had the Indian storyline to introduce William's daughter, that was good, but I mean, it's only in that story for a few minutes. I feel like the Shogun story, as much as I liked it, didn't work as well just because it was so much time spent on it, and it ultimately didn't seem to matter. And, but the Native American episode was the best episode of the series so far. Because that was just fantastic. And I actually, like, by the end of the episode before, I was like, holy crap, are we gonna find out that they knew all along, with, like, they figured it out well before any of the other hosts did? And I love that that's exactly what happened.
See, that's amazing. See, I do like that. It's nice, because a lot of times, and I think that even with this one, too, like, because it veers too much towards, like, the most important and most special one is the one that you're focusing on, right? Yeah. So it is nice to have a little bit of a reversal with that. Be like, actually, just because we focus on you finding out about it doesn't mean that you made this discovery.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, as much as, because you've seen that episode, right? Yeah, okay. As much as it, like, even goes to the point where Ford realizes that they know, and he didn't know this entire time, he's like, oh shit, you guys figured it out. good on you. And then he just lets them go and do their own thing. And I was like, I really, really like that. I saw, like, Jenna Bush from Legion of Leah compared Maeve and Dolores to Professor X and Magneto from the X-Men.
Yes, I love that.
I love that, and it's so true. And it actually works even better, like, by the end, because, okay, you're gonna let me spoil you.
Yeah, spoil away, please.
Okay, so, the last episode, we get, Bernard and Dolores go into, and they find out that so they talk to Ben Barnes' character. Logan is, like, basically the system, but it's not really him. It's obviously he's been programmed. But, and it's Bernard gets to choose what happens. And Dolores is basically, like, looking, and she can read, she can read. Like, there's a book, basically, it's like a library, on every person who's ever come into the park, every real person who's ever come into the park. And she's reading this, and Logan, you know, the door that they've been looking for this whole time, the system tells Bernard, okay, you get to decide what we're doing, and they open the door, and it's basically a fissure in time and space that only the host can see, and when they run through it, their bodies fall down in a chasm.
Oh.
Because it's just their consciousness going into
It's like the cloud, right?
And it's it's basically they get to know, they keep their memories, but they get to go live in a world where they won't be touched by the humans. And Dolores hates this idea and she wants to destroy it because it's not real.
Right.
And
yeah,
it's like, well, there's already hosts who have run into it. So you're gonna destroy them. And Bernard decides that she's crazy and he can't let her keep going and he kills her.
Okay,
and then
and
then when the humans come back, he decides, oh shit, no, that was a bad idea. I needed you. And what you find out is ever since, so the figuring out the timelines is of course the most complicated
part.
And it's supposed to be that because Bernard has scrambled his memories because he decided that if he knew what was going on, he was going to screw it up. So he had to scramble his memories. So when he wakes up on that beach and the Dallas people come and they're trying to figure out what's going to happen or what's happened, from that moment on, or just before that moment, Tessa Thompson's character is not it's not Charlotte Hale anymore.
Oh.
Because Bernard has replaced her with a host who has a body that can't be, if they scan it, it's not the same kind of host body. He basically creates a plastic skeleton for her.
Oh my god.
And the brain that is put into her is Dolores.
Oh.
So from that moment on, Charlotte Hale is gone.
Right.
Dolores is now in Tessa Thompson's body. And she gets out of Westworld. And that's when you find out Luke Hemsworth is also a host. Because Ford put him in. Because at first it wasn't clear if he really was a host. Because he's talking to her and he's making it clear that he knows that she is.
Right.
But it's not really clear if he's just saying that and he's going to let her go. Or if it's because he's a host. But I guess they've said since then, yes, he's a host. You're supposed to take that from it. And Ford put him in to protect the host in the park. But now he let Dolores go. And Dolores leaves with of the memory balls.
Memory balls.
And you're kind of supposed to you're kind of supposed to wonder which host she took with her. But I don't think she took other hosts. I think she copied herself.
That makes sense.
Several different balls. Because when you see at the end of the episode, Bernard outside in the real world, because nobody knows he's a host at this point. Everybody who knew he was a host is dead.
Right. That makes sense.
It's possible, I guess, that maybe one of those balls was Bernard and she took him. I can't.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm not remembering.
Well, so here's my question. But this is Tessa Thompson, Dolores.
Yes.
So, does that.
Tessa Thompson, Dolores is the one who gets out because they all think she's Charlotte Hale.
Right. So, does that mean that Evan Rachel Wood is what right now?
Well, at the end of the episode, when you see Bernard wake up again in his home in that. It's the what's it called, mansion in L.A., but he's recreated it in Tokyo or wherever. When he wakes up there, Evan Rachel Wood Dolores is there again.
Oh, okay.
But so is Tessa Thompson.
Oh, my God.
Dolores.
Okay.
Outside.
So two Dolores. Yeah.
And that's why I think those balls were not other hosts. She just copied her.
Right. I wonder if there's, different backups of Dolores or if it's all the same backup.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's like Dolores X, right?
So she's out in the real world. She put Teddy in, because James Marsden killed himself in the episode before. She puts Teddy into the cloud.
Okay.
He's alive there now. And Maeve and her entire crew are dead. But Delos Tech goes to the two techs whose names I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the, I believe he's supposed to be Chinese, because I think he makes the comment about how he's not from, the white guy assumes that, shouldn't you know this language when they're in Shogun World, and he's like, I'm not a Japanese asshole.
Right.
I think he was Chinese.
Okay.
I can't actually remember. Anyway, this other Delos Tech goes to them and says, okay, we need you to start, and, like, basically they're gonna restart the park.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, salvage what you can.
Right.
From a host, and they make a point of panning over the host and showing Maeve, so they're gonna.
Okay, so there'll be another Maeve. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But.
So Tandy Newton's dead, but she's gonna come back and probably be reset to not know anything.
Which sucks.
Although, they both like her.
Yeah.
Although they both like her, so they may make it look like that she doesn't know, but she doesn't.
But she really does know. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
That's what I deserve.
So. Yeah, right. So I'm guessing that the host in the cloud we won't see much of anymore.
Yeah.
And that it's going to be more about, like, so Dolores, the multiple Doloreses and Bernard in the real world,
mm-hmm.
and Westworld reopening.
Right.
So Dolores try and go and stop that.
That makes sense.
I'm guessing. I don't know. But it did feel like it could have been a season or a series finale.
Right. That's what I had read. Like, I'd heard people saying, like, oh, well, it felt like it was kind of over. But then they give you the option for more.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I really don't. I really feel like I desperately need to watch the whole thing again, but I don't have time.
Right, yeah. I mean, I just need to finish season two and just, like, read some, like, in-depth recaps after every episode, you know? Just be like, oh, that's what was happening.
Yes. Read the interviews. I think that's one of the problems, though, that I'm having with the show now, because I remember after the first season that there were a couple times where I went and read interviews with Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy to kind of get a little bit more input, but this season, I feel like I needed those interviews because it didn't make sense without them.
Right, and that's
always a problem.
Exactly, like, that's going too far. You know, it's nice to get more information when you read something, and, like, to find a richer understanding of it, but to not understand it at all without Word of God, then that means there is something missing in the text, right?
Yes. I definitely think they didn't do as good a job this year as they did last year, because it may have just gotten too convoluted at this point. It actually reminds me, and it's not the same exact thing, but it's season 3 of New Who, when it was Martha's story.
Yeah.
They had a MySpace page. How long ago this was now? They had a MySpace page that was dedicated to Martha, and it was, like, from her perspective, and she would write, like, posts, right?
Mm-hmm.
About, like, their adventures.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I remember that being, like, annoying, because it was, like, I didn't like Martha on the show very much. Mm-hmm. It was really difficult to connect to her a lot of the time, partly because, and I completely admit this, I was a huge Ten Rose fan.
Right.
Felt wrong to go from that to the unrequited love story. Like, that wasn't fair to the character Martha. I loved her later. But when you read the MySpace page post, like, this is the kind of development that, like, you need to be putting in the show.
Right.
And if I'm getting that character development from the MySpace page and not the show, I'm not connecting to that character on the show, that's a problem with the writing.
Yeah. Yeah, and for
so
sure.
So, it's the same kind of thing. That kind of stuff should be fun and a little insightful, but not, you shouldn't watch the show feeling like you're dependent on it.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely get that.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm sure both DC and Marvel, there are things that I would understand and get if I read more of the comic books than I have.
Right.
But I need to be able to get enough from the series or the movies to connect to it with that, because, like, there's too many fucking centuries, it feels like.
Yes.
That's comic books.
Yeah, but it's true, though. It's true. Like, and I think even, like, you know, because you can be, like, on a, like, a, whatever, lower brow of entertainment, but if you are, you know, comprehensive in your story, then you're already doing better than someone that's, like, trying to be really, you know, artsy but not communicating the message. Unless that's the point. Then something else, right? Then it doesn't beep.
It's a difference of, you know, you get the, like, Stephen Strange mention in The Winter Soldier that most people don't get because we hadn't met him yet.
Right.
But if you know who Doctor Strange is, you know, oh my god, that's a mention of a character that we're excited about, like, seeing in the future. Or even the post-credit scene for Infinity War where you see, you know, Captain Marvel's symbol on the the pager. Like, you know what that means, and it doesn't mean as much. But it doesn't take away from your enjoyment of the film, because it's not reliant on that at all.
Right.
That's just one, you know, hit, nudge, nudge to the fans.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel. Like, it's one of the shows that I will still keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I will eventually watch. I'll probably wait at this point. I might as well wait until we know when season 3 of Westworld is going to air.
Right.
Because I've got the other shows to watch anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just, I don't think it was. And it's hard. You know, we were having that discussion the other day. It's like, how many second seasons of shows have actually been successful?
That's true. There's a lot of sophomore slumps out there.
Yeah. It just, there's a reason that's a phrase.
Yep. You know which second season shows were successful?
Which one?
Michael Shore shows.
Yeah.
Every True. Season is successful. Okay.
Well, and actually, because we've been talking about it, I actually like Life on Mars season 2 better than season 1.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I actually think it does a better job of getting a little bit more of the mythology in.
Mm.
Because it's going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, for that, it helped that they were able to say, okay, we know we can finish this story, but it's only 8 more episodes is all we can do. And they were like, okay.
Yeah, but see, that is good.
You want BBC to make your show.
Yeah, having an endpoint is always good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, on that note, I think we're done.
Yes, I think that we are done. Thank you for joining us in our reviews of things.
On our, like, trying not to spoil Ant-Man and spoiling the shit out of Westworld, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't make any sense.
Yep. So you won't get it anyway. Just fine.
It's all right. Maybe it makes more sense to you. Maybe somebody can write me something and explain to me what I missed, because I'm sure there's stuff I missed, and I'll be like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But even that was kind of like, I don't, okay. So that makes me feel better. Cause, you know, yeah. Anyway, on that note, the interviews we were talking about from Sat Awards and all kinds of other reviews and fun stuff will be posted on withanaccent.com, and you can follow us at withanaccent on Twitter, Instagram, a Facebook page,
Tumblr,
and Tumblr. There is the withanaccent.tumblr.com, and of course you can follow at popalacart.com or popalacart on the same thing.
Anyway. Yay!
Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.